Hello.
Hello, is it Brian?
Yes.
Hi, Brian. This is Aaron calling you from MMA Legal. How are you, sir?
Oh, not bad. Thank you.
That's good. Brian, we've received your email in regards to then obviously going to move into the next stage within your application.
Okay.
We do apologise. We've had the a colleague off sick. So,
that's okay. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, we've had a little bit of a backlog. We're just myself getting through the calls. We do apologise. We haven't got to you in time, but here I am now.
So I'll hear for you sometime then?
No, I'm going to go through the call with you today, sir.
All right, okay.
So just for data protection before we do start, Brian, can you confirm your address for me, please?
It's 51B Camlodden Drive.
Perfect, sir. And just to inform you that these calls are recorded for training and monitoring purposes, okay?
No bother.
Perfect. So, yeah, I'm part of the investigation team here, Brian. What the point of this phone call is I'm going to gather some knowledge around yourself in regards to, obviously, your time and care and how that's affected you and if it does still play an effect on you today. I'll ask you a series of questions, just gathering a little bit of information that I do need. I'll then ask you where your GP is and how long you've been there for, confirm your care settings with yourself, give yourself a little bit of a summary of how the case is going to move forward, and then I shall leave you to enjoy a nice Thursday afternoon. Does that sound good?
No bother, that's fine.
Perfect, Brian, I'll be as quick as I can for you.
That's fine.
Okay, so just to start off, Brian, just so I've got the best knowledge about yourself, are you currently suffering from any mental health issues at the minute?
I've had a lot of mental health problems in the last couple of years, and this is why this is all came back up again.
Yeah.
Because I somebody got in contact with me a few years ago about it, but I didn't want to know at that time, and I'm just, after the mental health and all that, it's all came back, so it's sort of surfaced back.
Yeah, it takes you back, doesn't it?
So, and it's brought it back to me, and it's not nice.
Yeah.
If I'm honest.
Yeah, no, I do understand that, Brian. And obviously, we're here as a law firm to gather the best knowledge about yourself and how, obviously, your time and care has affected you, so we can build the biggest and best case that we can to present to the Scottish Government for, obviously, fighting for, you know, some sort of financial compensation that, you know, that you do deserve for what you've been through.
Yeah.
So what would you say that you're currently experiencing at the minute? Is it depression, anxiety, PTSD?
It's a depression and anxiety as well. I've not got that other one you said there, sorry.
PTSD, no, that's fine.
Yeah, not
okay. Bad. And are you taking any antidepressants at all?
I'm still sort of taking them as one. I'm a trick one and a few other things.
But when you say you are sort of, are you not keeping up to date with taking them regularly?
I've got a few other things going on as well, and I'm on a lot of medicine.
Yeah.
And sometimes I just, the amateur one sort of, I don't know if you have any experience with it, but it's sort of, it just makes you into a zombie when you take them.
Yeah,
There's times I need to take them, I must admit. It will help me at night time and whatever. But I do try to take them as much as I can, but it's like everything else. It's just old age as well. I'm 66 now, so I'm not the best at it. But the amateur treatment was for the mental health a few years ago.
Yeah.
And I still get it. I still get them.
Yeah, no, I do understand that. I have been on metazepine myself in the past. I do understand that, you know, the zombie feeling side of things. But obviously, with my experience with metazepine, that was more of a night tablet to help me sleep.
Yeah, it's more a night. It does help.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, it does help a lot, actually. But
yeah,
you sort of get immunity, because I was taking one, then I was taking two, because your body sort of gets used to it. I was taking two, and I wasn't feeling great. Then they put me on to another one, Nonacriplin or something, I think it was called. Didn't give you such a sore head in the morning when you wake up?
Yeah.
So that helps as well.
Okay. All right. And do you drink any alcohol or take any recreational drugs at all?
No, I don't take drugs. I do drink now and then. Not very often. It's usually the Saturday. I'll go out on a Saturday afternoon or whatever. But I don't drink a lot.
Okay. Okay. And one question I do have to ask you, Brian, I do apologise and asking, so as I said, it's just so I can gather the best knowledge I can about yourself. Have you ever tried to self-harm or take your own life at all?
That was a few years ago, aye.
Yeah, okay. And what was it that you may have done or attempted?
It was medicine. I was attempting to take it, and I'll tell you what happened. I was actually in the process of taking it, and I got a phone call, and usually I don't take the phone calls, and it was my granddaughter.
Yeah.
And talking to her, just having, you know, obviously she's not got a clue what's going on.
Yeah.
And she just talked to me and whatever. Then I came off the phone and just changed my mind.
Yeah.
It's been there a few times, but I've never actually went through it.
Yeah.
And obviously.
Yeah, so did you say that you tried to overdose on medicine, or you had the force to?
I was going to overdose on them, and I already had it all there. It was all ready to be done, and just when I got the phone call. Sounds like something out of a film or whatever, but it was just, I hadn't heard fair for a wee while either, and everything was getting me down, sort of thing. And after I spoke to her, I felt, I'm not saying I felt better, but I just felt maybe there is a reason to stay here.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, no, I'm glad that she was able to be on the other end of the phone
call
for you.
To be honest, because I've got 3 grandchildren now as well, so...
Oh, I love you, sir. That's amazing. I've got obviously 3 children myself, so it'd be nice to become a granddad one day, hopefully.
Well, I've got 3 children, and 2 of them are got the grandkids, 2 girls, and the other one's a boy. So.
I've got 2 girls and a boy.
There you go then.
Yeah.
They keep you busy.
They certainly do. Yeah, they're a little blessing, aren't they?
Oh, aye, definitely.
Yeah, but no, thank you for being open and honest with me today, Brian, about that. Obviously, it just takes some courage and confidence to do so.
Yeah,
thank you for that. Okay, Brian, so where are you, where's your current doctors at the minute? Where are you registered at?
It's Maryhill. It's called the Maryhill Health Centre. And it's the red area.
Yeah, no worries, I'll have a look at that for you now. Yeah, that in Glasgow, is it?
Yeah, Maryhill.
Yeah. Okay, and how long have you been registered there for?
Before they even moved to there, I've been there for about, what is your name? I've been there with Maryhill for about 30 years, probably longer. They've moved to about 3 different buildings since I've been there.
Yeah, no fit enough, okay. And your care settings here, we've got Hetland House.
Yeah, that was in Dumfries.
Yeah. Okay, let's have a look and see if I can get any information on this now. Okay. Dumfries Council.
It was with the Maristers.
Okay, so we can see that it's under Dumfries Council. So
right,
what we can't find is obviously the set in stone building where it was, shall we say. So whether
that may say a hotel now, I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So sometimes with these care settings, some of them are just unfortunately not made public or open to public information. But obviously we can, you know, we'll write to the local authority of Dumfries Council and they'll be able to have something in the archives for us to work from then. Because what we do is we use an AI tool or an AI assistant, shall we say. So when we go to research any, care settings, it can... Uh-huh. It can pull up history from even the 1800s. It's quite clever, but as I said, it's sometimes we are a little bit restricted in regards to what's been released for information to be found. Hetland House under Dumfries Council. And how long were you at this care setting for? Was it around about a year or two?
That was, I was there in 1971-72.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was about 11, 12, aye, so it's 71, 72.
Yep, okay. And was that the only care setting you was in, was it?
No, sorry, it's no care. Obviously, you're trained to be a priest. It was the Maris, they're called the Maris Brothers.
Could you possibly spell that one for me?
Yeah, it's M-A-R.
Yep.
XIST. Marist. Brothers.
So MARIST.
I think that's it. It's an X. No, sorry, there's an X somewhere. Marist. Or maybe there isn't. Maybe it's just MARIST. Marist Brothers.
I'm just going to have a little another search under that and just see if anything comes up.
It was all over the news about 15 years ago.
Right, okay, yeah. So it's brought up some information here. So does St. Joseph College ring a bell?
See, it's because it's that long ago. St. Joseph, I don't know if it was the same as Hetland House. I'm not too sure because
yeah.
I've seen the picture of Hetland House. And it did say something about St. Joseph's, but I don't know if it's the same. It was Hetland House when I was there. I'd be back in 71, 72.
Yeah, okay.
But if they've changed it to St. Joseph's after that, I'm not sure. But they're still not Marist Brothers. Oh, it's M-A-R-I-X-T. That's
M-A-R-I-X.
X, I'm not sure, sorry, I'm getting mixed up here.
No, that's okay, don't worry.
I'm sure there was an X in it, but I'm probably wrong. But if it's St. Joseph's as well, they were the Marist Brothers that had that as well, as far as I know.
Yeah, okay, so from what I can see here from the search, it's come up with Marist, as in M-A-R-I-S-T.
And it
does say it's a Catholic teaching order founded in France by Saint Marcellin Champ, whatever that word may be. Yeah, it's a boys' boarding school.
Aye, that's what it was. It was a boarding school.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah, training centre for future Marist Brothers. Okay, yeah. Not a problem. I'll make a quick note of that. Bear with me. That one there. Okay, and so yeah, so you were there from 1971 to 1972.
Yeah.
Okay, so when we pull your medical records and your care setting records, we say care setting records, but it's obviously some sort of social service care setting that they put you in. So once we pull them records from Dumfries Council and your doctors, would you like us to share the information with yourself once we receive it?
That's fine, yeah. Aye.
Yep, okay. Okay, that's not a problem. Okay, Brian, so just to give you a little bit of an insight on how this case is going to work moving forward.
Yeah.
This journey that you and I are about to embark on is going to be roughly around about 6 to 12 months. In this time, I'm going to be updating you every 4 to 5 weeks on how the case is travelling and what we're doing with your case to strengthen it. As you've obviously requested there, once we do get your records, we will give you a phone call, whether that be within the update phone call, before or after that call, and we'll go through see if obviously we've got everything up to date, everything that we jog your memory, that we've got up to date as well. And then this case then gets put forward to an independent panel within the Scottish Government. Now, this is all done behind closed doors, so you or I don't have to attend anywhere. I will be informing you of the panel date when they'll be looking at your case and also the conclusion to this case as well.
Okay.
What we do, first and foremost, like to fight for as a law firm is an official apology from the Scottish Government for how you've been handled during your time in care, but also fight for some financial compensation for yourself as well.
That's fine.
Before we do go to present your case to the Scottish Government, what will happen here within our law firm is, although I'll be your case handler throughout the whole process, my other team who deal with getting your records and sending off them requests and receiving them, my team will give you a call and go through and make an official formal statement from yourself.
Okay.
So this does go from obviously you explain where you were placed, why you were placed there. If obviously the reason is unknown, we'll probably find out that reason for you. Everything that you've gone through in each detail, how it's made you feel, And I'm sure my guys will explain this all to you as well, but it's obviously just so you've got a little bit of a heads up. Once we've got this formal statement from yourself, we'll then put that within your application and then present that to the Scottish Government. So as I said, alongside me being your case handler, you will get a call down the line in this process from my team to just grab an official formal statement from yourself.
Can I say something? Sorry, it's even yet when they check. This is going to sound mental, but when I was there, I actually left. I escaped out of that place. So
yeah.
I actually left in a car, in the back of a car. And it's I'm even thinking about it, it's doing that. So I got a train from Fries to Glasgow, and
yeah.
The inspector on the train phoned my dad to come pick me up and pay for the ticket as well.
Yeah.
Because it was that bad. I couldn't tell my dad or my mum. My mum's my family's Irish, and it was my mum that wanted me to be a priest.
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell her sort of things. I just told her. I think I've talked to James, I think his name is,
earlier on
a couple of weeks ago, and it was just horrible. But to say, after about 4 or 5 years, I got married and whatever. Well, I was more than that, about 8 years. And I'm not saying I forgot about it, I sort of put it in the back of my mind.
Yeah.
Then I seen it in the news, way back a few years ago, and my brother, he knew, because I told him, and he said, you should do something. I just didn't know why. I felt embarrassed, to be honest with you.
You deserve
everything you get after them, so I'm hoping that something comes out of it. So I don't know what they're going to say on their records if I've left or if, I don't know, but I would like to know. That's what you say there, you can find out what happened.
I would like to know
what they put down for that sort of thing.
Of course, yeah. Well, even if for whatever reason it doesn't give us a reason as to why your time in that setting did end.
Yeah.
With your official statement, from what I know from experience, when it comes to this redress scheme, it's very hard to find that you are lying about the situation, because no one can justify how you feel or how you've been made to feel from what you've gone through. So it's not about it being like your word against theirs. If you've escaped that place because you've felt a certain type of way, that's evidence in your statement that's the reason why. Does that make sense?
It does. As I say, I sort of just blanked it then. And it's been that long, and I told James that I couldn't really... one of the brothers I remember is Brother Dorothy's, but he wasn't in. He was the one that recruits you for the schools.
Yeah.
To come to Hetland. But there was a few boys involved in it who helped them. So I know their name, so I'm hoping that can help as well. So.
Of course, yeah. Well, obviously, when we do go through the official statement with yourself, everything that you do remember, even down to names, who recruited you, everything, it all goes in your favour. Because I'm sure when, obviously, we pull these records from your local authority, these names will be attached to that organisation as well. So obviously the more evidence you give us, time scale, obviously unfortunately going into detail on what happened properly, I know you already have with James. I can see that on your brief statement here. But obviously when you do go into detail on, you know, exactly what happened, and I going to the reason why you did end up escaping, it all does come together and strengthen your case for them to obviously then look at it and not exactly call you a liar in some sort, or you know, some doubt that you may have, but that's the way that you've been feeling. That's what's made you leave that organisation.
Yeah, definitely, because it's just resurfaced over the last, I would maybe say, 3 years. I was seeing somebody to help me with, and that'll be on my records as well. I was seeing her and she was great. I didn't really speak to her about that. There was other things going on. And it sort of brung it on, but it was like, I still didn't know why to talk about it. But and it just brung it all back, and it sort of made me think about it. Then I've been talking to my brother in the last 6 months, and he's the only one that knows. I mean, my mum and dad, they passed away now. They didn't know. I couldn't tell them. But as I say, and I've got another brother, but couldn't really talk to him. So my other brother, Kevin, he's younger than me, so
Yeah.
He's been a great help. And it's just, as I say, it's just weird how it just resurfaced. And I still could remember nearly the whole lot yet when it came back.
Yeah,
I don't know how that happened, but it's just, as I say, it's weird.
I'm
thinking about it a lot more than what I know, so it's just...
Yeah. No, I do understand that, Brian, obviously, from my end, obviously, we apologise that, someone like yourself has gone through the trauma and abuse that you've faced. But to reassure you, obviously, we are a law firm here that is heavily backing you in this case. We're very, very happy to work with someone like yourself who has gone through this traumatic time and, felt like, you haven't been believed, you've had no one to turn to, the suffering from it, because, from the care systems when you've been failed as such, it has a long-lasting relationship in regards to trust issues, relationships with friends and partners. It does have a very, big ripple effect, shall we say.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
so we here at MMA Legal, we understand that, and that's why we're here to be, show that empathy that you haven't been shown, and also support you down the line, give you any legal advice that we can. But as I said, we're kind of that shoulder that you can lean on. We're here to help, and obviously we're here to on your side to fight back against the Scottish government. Of course. So anything that obviously you do tell us as well is private and confidential. We don't go elsewhere. We don't use any third parties to disclose any information. This is all kept obviously within data protection GDPR. Okay, so Brian, what I want to do now is I'm just going to quickly run through our legal fees with yourself. Now I know James may have already gone through this with you. I just have to do it at my end for my compliance team.
Sure.
Once this is done, I will then formally ask you whether you are happy to proceed with MMA Legal moving forward. And then once that's all done, you'll be good to go, Brian. Okay.
That's fine.
Thank you very much. So, Brian, when it comes to doing your Scottish redress application, you do have three options when it comes to the funding. Option one is that you can apply to do this application yourself without a solicitor or a law firm to represent you, and that's you just building your own evidence and presenting your own case to the Scottish Government.
Mm-hmm.
Option two is you can instruct a different solicitor or law firm in England or Scotland who participates in the government legal fee scheme, where they are paid £2,000 by the Scottish Government to basically deal with your case. Now, they don't charge any fees because they've already had the funds from basically a handout from the Scottish Government.
Mm-hmm.
Being option three, which is ourselves, we are a private and independent law firm. We don't like to accept any handouts from the Scottish Government. We just work on a no-win, no-fee basis. So if for whatever reason the case doesn't go in our favour, we won't come and chase you for any legal fees and cause that financial burden or stress on yourself. But obviously, when and if the case does go in our favour, we do take a percentage of 16% plus VAT, which is 19.2%. Now, that's a capped percentage, so it doesn't matter what kind of compensation you may receive. We won't come looking for more. We just want to be settled for the time and effort we've put into your case to present it.
That's fine. Well, I'll go with yours. That's fine.
Perfect, Brian. Thank you very much for that. Okay, and I can see here as well, James has also put a cooling off period on your case. It has expired. It did expire on the 1st of May. What that meant is that obviously within the 14 days from that initial phone call, you had time to go away, look elsewhere, rip up any agreements that you've signed with ourselves. Obviously, you've said that you're happy to proceed with Legal. So would you like me to clear that completely for you or reinstate it?
I'd like to go with you. Could put me back through if that's okay.
Yeah, of course, perfect. Not a problem. And just to confirm, obviously, to conclude this case, the password that's on your case file here is Danielle.
Yeah, that's my daughter.
Yeah, no worries. So before I do let you go, Brian, is there any questions for yourself at all?
No, really, no. You've been great. You've explained a lot, yeah. So it's just, I take it every time I get a call, it's an update, plus I have to give them my update on what happened and whatever. Is that right?
Say that again, sorry, the line broke there.
Sorry, when I take it now, when I get phone calls again, it's just for me to give you an update or tell you exactly what happened?
So we'll give you the update on where we're at with your case.
Oh, right, okay, got you now.
Yeah. So we'll just give you an update on, you know, whether we've received your records, what we're doing with your case exactly in that moment in time.
Oh, right. Okay, got you now.
And then obviously alongside them update calls, there will also be a call when we do receive your records just to go through them and gather much information with doing all the records together, making sure we've got all the timelines in place, or, you know, the mental health that you've gone through, the counselling services that you've used, anything like that, obviously, that we can relate back to your, you know, what has affected you from your time in care.
And it will always be this number that's come up, the 016?
Yeah, it would be the 0161. Obviously, I will admit to you now, we are trialling out a different phone system. So it will be an 0161, but the digits at the end just might be slightly different.
That's fine. That's okay.
I do have my direct line of ending in 555. That's going to be coming live very soon, but it's not up as of yet. We're fixing that internally.
That's okay. That's fine.
Possibly Monday that will be coming live. But as I said, it will always be a Manchester number, at least the 0161. Right.
That's fine. And what was your name again, sorry?
My name is Aaron.
Aaron, right, no bother.
Okay, not a problem, Brian. Anything else I can help you with before I
let you go? No, Aaron, that's fine. You've been through it well. You really have. You explained it great, didn't I? So.
No worries. If you do have any questions, anything pops into mind in the meantime, just give me a call back on this number and I'll be happy to assist you.
No bother.
No worries, Brian. Thank you very much for your time. I do appreciate it and have a lovely evening.
You too, Aaron, mate. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Bye.